Good morning, St. Paul. It's always a good day to worship our Lord and Savior. And I just invite you to join me in praising his name and welcome him in this place.
Let our praise be a welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are all our desire. You alone are holy.
It's who I am. morning, St. Paul, Westport. So good to see all of you. At this time, we'll have kids' church, so you guys can go ahead and go back to the fellowship hall, and we'll go back into worship.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power.
Bless you this morning. We thank you for your coming to be with us. And God, as we meet, there's a kingdom of heaven and all kinds of kingdoms of this world. And Lord, we want to set our eyes, we want to set that the mission we have would be upon your kingdom going throughout these lands. God, your kingdom's a kingdom of love and a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of relationship and restoration. God, it's all good. Father, we thank you so much for the cross. We thank you that what Jesus has done has eternally, in a one-time event, he has entirely changed our eternal destination. And God, may we have hearts that would just expand and grow so much, God. It is so oftentimes a matter of love and a matter of just obedience to you in that love, God, that we would be so eager to let people who don't know you just see you. So God, we pray for encounters with the Lord. We pray for that, God, certainly within these walls, within the walls of our homes, but God, outside these walls too. God, let your name be glorified. We thank you for just your hand on us, God. We pray for Ryan. God, a place of gratitude. We thank you for how far you brought him. And Lord, there's more to be done. And we pray in Jesus' name, release the fullness of healing on Ryan. God, restore him in the body to full strength. Father, we pray for Angela, just going through so much right now. And we thank you that she's much stronger, and we pray for more healing in her. God, for those that are on our hearts, even in our silence, Lord, we lift up other names to you, souls, God, for you to encounter with love and with power. God, we're eager to study your word today, to know our Father. And so we ask for Holy Spirit to come here and interpret your word for us. God, we love your word. We love you. And we want to know you so much better, Lord. We want our lives to truly be a reflection of the life of Christ. So come, Holy Spirit, bless our time together today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Go ahead and have a seat. Those of you watching online, we welcome you as well. And it's great to have you. So I don't know if I've shared this here before or not, but I'm going to do it again if I have. But so when I was in high school, I participated in this like leadership thing that was really cool. And it basically, in college, I helped out with it and served like a 2-year term as president of this thing. And anyway, it was really awesome. We would take one student from each high school in the state and bring them together and put on like a 4-day conference kind of thing. And there were, we had to do it in two, so there would be about 300 students at each of the two different conferences. And we'd bring in speakers and have panelists and sometimes news media people, all kinds of people that were helpful, right? And it was just on like leadership and just figuring out life. And so we would have the students introduce these speakers. And so one of the speakers I remember we brought in was a juvenile court judge. And his nameplate there said the Honorable, H-O-N period, but the Honorable Tom Dawson was his name. And so we had this young student, we kind of taught him how to get to know somebody. They spend about 10 minutes together, and then she'll go out and introduce it to there's probably like 400 people out there, right, with the counselors and everybody. And so she did an incredible job introducing him, talking about his wife, his kids, his hobbies. And then she said, without further ado, please welcome Han Tom Dawson. Because, you know, the nameplate said Han for the Honorable. He's a judge, the Honorable Tom. So Han Tom Dawson. And I remember cringing like, oh, didn't even think to tell her that one, you know. And and fortunately, he laughed it off. But the honorable judge, that is we honor judges, right? There are all kinds of people in our life, in our world, that we honor because we have to. If you walk into a judge's courtroom, you better honor the guy or the woman because they have the authority to, I don't even know what. They have authority over you though, right? So you have to honor them, right? We have to honor policemen. We have to, like, there are just a number of people in this world we have to honor because we come under their authority. There's also times where we just choose to honor someone just because. maybe they did something wonderful and you just want to show your appreciation and you honor them. But maybe there are other times it's just a choice. Here's somebody who's never done anything for you. You don't know if he's ever done anything good in his life, and you just extend honor. Honor, no matter our motivations, which can be all over the place, we as a church want to be marked by honor. And so honor is the value we're talking about today. We have five of these values that we're going through. This is number four. The previous 3 weeks, we've talked about engagement and really engaging in the mission of God, like not just observing, being a watcher, but like jumping in and serving the Lord, engaging with the local church. Number two, Valisa taught on expectancy. We have a God that we expect to answer really big prayers. That's why we pray things that we can't do ourselves. Because God can, right? We're very expectant that God is doing things and not just capable, but even desiring to just release his power, release his glory, right? And then last week we talked about truth. And truth is something also that's all these values are non-negotiable. We will carry truth and hold truth and never negotiate what truth is, because truth is our God, and God himself is truth, I should say. And so we carry truth. Well, this one, this week, is honor. And it's so important that it comes right after truth, because if you give truth to somebody, but you don't do it with honor, truth becomes a weapon used against a person. It's just a cruel way of letting them know you're falling short of God. Versus if honor is like the vehicle that you bring truth on, it can build up. Even if it's a hard word, it can build up. And it can encourage and it can draw people to that truth. And so honor is critical. And we're going to talk about honor today. So the reality of our world that we live in is if you look, and it's not just our nation, it's all over the world, there is a culture at hand. It is a culture of dishonor, okay? Dishonor is everywhere you look. And the verb, Merriam-Webster, the verb dishonor means to treat in a degrading manner. That's what it is. Do you see that? Do you see it all around? We typically play, whether we choose to or not, we typically play follow the leader. And if you look at the highest places of our nation, okay, and every nation is like this, is there honor? You know, we have an aisle in Congress, and we have two sides to that aisle. How often do you see honor being the device of choice to relate to each other? It's very rarely. Instead, it's throwing, not literal, but it's throwing words at each other and accusations at each other. Rarely do they honor one another. And this is so important for us to recognize that our culture is a culture of dishonor. And you can say, well, that's government, but we're not that bad. Have you looked at social media? You know how nasty that gets? And different social media platforms seem to carry different nastiness levels. I don't think social media is like bad in and of itself, but it's changing us a lot. And it's interesting. I just don't type anything. I type happy birthday to people and that's it. My wife uses Facebook in the best possible way, because she posts pictures of our kids and encouraging thoughts, and she'll comment on other people that's just upbuilding. I'm so proud of that in her, right? But how often do you see slams? Do you see people just make comments? Mike Tyson recently said this. I don't have the exact quote, but he said something about the problem with social media today is you have a bunch of people saying things who don't expect to get hit in the mouth for saying them. Right, here's a boxer. And it's like that's totally it. Like there's so much dishonor. There are these, it's one thing to state a political belief, but so often it turns into a fight. like a virtual fight online, and like it's like, is that truly honoring? The point is we live in a culture of dishonor where people are dissing other people. It's just common. We could go on. Elders are dishonored, right? And it's not even just now. For the last, 10 months, you can't even go to a nursing home. But just long-time elder care. There's just been, there's so many levels, so many different avenues and places of dishonor. The point is, our culture is dishonor. That's the culture we live in. But this is the thing. Jesus has always been about flipping a culture. He's always been about that. And for him, he desires the church to have a culture of honor, not dishonor. He knows that the world is a culture of dishonor. So what does it look like for the church to say, we're going to have a culture of honor? The verb honor means to regard or treat someone with admiration and respect, whether they deserve it or not. That's what it is. And for us, we want to say, look, I know the world all around us treats one another with dishonor. We're going to be marked, non-negotiable on this, okay? We're going to be marked by as people who treat others honorably. And not just because somebody's a judge. Like, we can have all kinds of motivations, that's fine. But the primary reason is going to be because we have something so incredible we want this person to know. We want them to know the truth of the gospel. And we have to live it out before we can speak it out so often. And so it's going to be the avenue or that vehicle for truth. And so when it comes to our church, the value of honor, these are our words. Again, I'm going to invite you. Would you say these with me, all right? So this is honor at St. Paul Westport. Let's do this. We give the benefit of the doubt to all people. We'll be vulnerable and transparent in order to love and honor others. We're gentle and respectful of others with different viewpoints. This is what it means for us to carry honor as our value. We're going to give the benefit of the doubt to other people. We're not going to make them earn honor. We're going to give it. We're going to live transparent lives. We're going to be gentle, respectful of people who have different viewpoints. This is honor. This is so important. This is not just a little detail of Christian living. If we want the truth of Christ to actually not just get out, because we can throw it out any kind of way, but if we want it to stick, if we want it to be effective, honor's the vehicle in which we bring truth. That's just the reality of it. So Jesus, if you brought your Bibles open, Matthew 5, it's the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, it's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's all together. And we're going to look at the very end of chapter 5. And he talks about honor in this. And so this is, oftentimes the Sermon on the Mount is called the Constitution of Christianity. It's because he just covers so much in this. But these are two really small sections that are about the same thing. And they both have these, both sections start with these statements like, you've heard this said, right? So verse 38, this is Matthew 5, 38, he says, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that is straight out of the Old Testament, okay? But Jesus, I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. And in these words, Jesus takes an Old Testament quote, and what he's doing, he's actually correcting a misinterpretation of it. Okay? And so he's like, look, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's because God, that's God's word. He mandated that. Okay? And the whole idea of it was meant for, essentially for Israel, for the government, for their order, law and order. God's big on law and order, and so it's this significant understanding, this is how we deal, okay? There's a crime, and there needs to be a punishment that fits the crime. And so that's what this is. And what happened over the years is the Israelites took this into their own hands and said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and it became about payback. It became about an individual saying, hey, if you took my eye out, I'm going to take your eye out, right? You did this, I do that, because I got to get even with you. And this was never God's intention. This was about the justice system. This was about judges being able to have just faith-based, fair, honest systems of government, and in this case, dishing out punishment, okay, or discipline. So it was never meant for an individual to take out some like get even aspect. And that's what he's saying. Jesus is not saying, let yourself continually get abused, okay? His point is something bigger. And you can easily read that if you just read it. It's like, well, I guess we're just supposed to get beat up and just not ever, like, defend yourself. That's not what this is about. This is about honoring. Instead of trying to get payback, this is about let the system run its course, okay? Don't you individually try to get somebody to pay back. Honor people. And he goes to the next section, the love your enemies one. And Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, you should love your enemies, or you should love your neighbor and hate your enemies. And then Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. He said, love and pray for those who seem to be your enemies so that you can be sons of the, so that you can be like your Father in heaven. And then he gives the example. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? And then he finishes it. You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So you must fulfill this. And this is all about honor. And so Jesus used these different ways, right? And a year later, he's going to give a parable on the parable of the weeds. Remember that one? And it's the same message, essentially, of, hey, this will all work out in the end. But just like the Father, he said, be like the Father in heaven, who lets the sun, like when the sun comes up, it doesn't just benefit the good, right? It benefits the good and the evil. When it rains, it doesn't just rain on Christians' fields, right? It rains. It pours out. And that's his point. In the end, this will be figured out. And he's like, everybody else, like if you just honor those who are honoring you, that's nothing. If you just say hi to those who say hi to you, like it's nothing. He's like, anybody would do that. We are to be, and this was his point on the Sermon on the Mount, like it is countercultural. So many things that he teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, you just take the standard and he flips it upside down and he says, this is living. This is what it should look like to live. And for us as the church, we understand we live in a culture of dishonor. It's all around us. We're just not supposed to play that game. We're to carry a culture of honor. It's mandated by the Lord, and it's a way the church stands out in a way that's so positive, so refreshing for a culture that's immersed in dishonor. I remember probably 10, 12 years ago, I was listening to a guy speak, and he had written a book It's called something like 360 degree leadership or something like that. Anyway, he's a pastor, and he was teaching on leadership. Okay, so the context was leadership. But one of the things I remember taking from this, and it was so good, was he talked about leading. And he talked about leading in a 360 degree, so all around you. And he started and he said, you lead down, meaning you lead those who you have authority over. Whoever reports to you, you need to be a good leader. And that leadership, you listen to that. You know, he fleshed it out, right? But you also, like, you lead with your authority. And it looks a certain way when you lead those who you're over in sense of authority. And then he talked, and like that didn't surprise anybody, right? But then he talked about those who are equal to you. You want to lead those who are on like the same plane. And so in the workplace, it might be somebody who's in a totally different department of your company that you really don't have. You don't report to that person. That person doesn't report to you. Whatever, right? But you can lead equals by rallying people, by seeing things and leading people to the mission of the organization or whatnot. It might be two siblings together and saying, look, I think I can help you. Let's do this and I'll help you with this. It's going for, it's leading, but people who are kind of equal more or less. And then he talked about the third one, which is leading up, where you take your authority, your boss, or your boss's boss's boss. And, you know, we don't even think about, like, he's the leader, she's the leader, I report to her, right? And it's like, no, you actually can help lead, but it looks very different than leading somebody who you have authority over. Instead, you participate in the big picture and you realize what's at stake for that person. And you give them thoughts, you give them ideas, you bless them in their leadership, and you don't hold back that you might be able to offer something of the big picture that could really help. And so anyway, his whole point on this was you lead down, you lead sideways, you lead up. And I just remember thinking that was really helpful, that was really cool. Taking that paradigm. And instead of talking about leadership, what if we talked about honor? So we would honor those we have authority over. This is what Christ did, right? Jesus, who is literally the head of the church, serves the church. He served the church when he walked on earth. He serves the church by interceding for us, by praying for us, like all the time. He loves us. He serves. And so just the way that honor, that we would honor those who, and if this is a workplace deal for you, maybe it's a family deal as a parent, that we'd honor our children and not just tell them, you got to do this, do that, but that we'd honor them. What does honor look like? Well, it's giving them the benefit of the doubt. It's trusting them. It's putting them in situations where they can succeed or fail, but putting this amount of faith in them that they have what it takes, encouraging them, bringing them along. This, whether it's the workplace, the home, the other social circles, like that's really important that we would honor those we have an authority over. And then thinking about the horizontal. How do we honor people who are more or less equal to us? What if you're in a job and you... competitive, and you know that there's a spot above you that could come open in the next year, and you're like, I'd really like that, and you look over, and there's somebody over there who, she's every bit as talented as you, and has a decent chance at that too, and you know what the culture of dishonor does? The culture of dishonor pulls away. Maybe you could even make her look bad, maybe, but you could try to elevate yourself. You know what a culture of honor does? It actually blesses that person and doesn't see that person as a competitor. I mean, you're in the same organization, right? Instead, it invests in that person. You, just like you would lead a person, you would honor a person who's beside you. A spouse, if you're married, right? More or less equal, that type thing, right? And you want to honor that spouse. Like you gotta. I mean, that's what a healthy marriage is. There's honor built into it, right? Okay. And then up. What about honoring up? Is that we would honor those who have authority over us. And in many cases, it's dictated. If you go into Han Tom Dawson's courtroom, right, you have to honor him. If you don't, he'll kick you. I don't know what judges all can do, but in the movies, they have authority to do stuff, whatever. Okay. So clearly, I don't have a lot of courtroom experience yet, but hopefully ever. And so do you see it, though, like, we also want to honor those who have authority over us, not just because we have to, but because we would choose to. Okay, so in that paradigm, every time we'd look at a group of people, I want to kind of take two paradigms almost and push them together. Like, we want to think about honoring people who are below us, who are with us, and who are above us in that way. And so there are three people groups, right? There are three people here that is the church, that St. Paul Westport, we must honor. And the first two are fast and easy. The first one is each other. We must honor each other. It starts here, that we extend honor to one another, that we would believe and give people in our own church the benefit of the doubt. We would trust them. We would encourage them. We would extend honor, whether it's ever returned or not. This is what church is. We honor one another. It has to start here, okay? And then, and you could use that paradigm, right, of those, so if you're a small group leader, you honor those in your small group, right? You have a certain amount of authority, like, in that group setting, like, with them. You honor, you don't laud over them, right? You honor them. And if you honor your small group, I mean, that type of thing, right? But, and those who are equal, okay? Like, that type of thing, right? Secondly, we must honor our leaders. We absolutely have to honor our leaders. And you could say, well, that's certainly within the church, you know, our board, sure. I'm thinking more outside our church. The Christian church, we live in a culture of disunity. We must be marked by living honor. In that culture of dishonor, by living honor. That means those who are our leaders, we will honor. That means we will honor our law enforcement. We will honor our military. We will honor our president. We will honor our congressmen and women. We will honor them, not insult them, not join media frays and just spew yuck on other people. We will honor them because God has put them in positions of leadership. As the church, we are called to honor. And we could say, well, only when that party is in office, and then the game doesn't work the other way, so why do we have to? That's the whole point. The church is not aligned to one party, okay? But secondly, we honor, knowing there's a culture of dishonor, knowing that, yeah, people are going to play differently. That's totally the way it's going to work, but we will honor. The third one's the hard one, guys. This is kind of it for today. Three people the church must honor: each other, our leaders, and those who are different than us. You know this one's hard. We have to honor those who are different than us. You know what happens if we don't? If we say, we as the church, we know we're right and we know those outside the church are wrong. Okay, even if that's true, by the way, that alone is not horrible. To say, look, we have the truth of the gospel, they don't have it. They need to get it. That's okay. But if we now withhold honor, it only becomes an us versus them. We're trying to evangelize the them. We're trying to let them know the love of Jesus. And if we turn it into an us versus them, if we withhold honor, that's what it becomes, us versus them. We end up pushing them further instead of bringing them. That's what happens. It divides. Dishonor always divides. every single time. And here's the thing. Honor always breaks through differences. It always does. I listened last summer. I listened to a TED Talk. Some of you might have heard this one. It's fantastic. It's about taking people who are totally different than each other and bringing them together. And so the example that she used, it went back to 2016 between the election and the inauguration. Okay? This is when this event happened. And then she talked about it like 4 years later. So what happened is, they went for stereotypes. They took 25 Trump supporters from Alabama, and they took 25 Hillary supporters from California, and they brought the 25 and 25 together. And immediately, and we want to have healthy dialogue, conversation. And what do you think's going to happen, right? And so it was like there's tension, there's all kinds of differences, right? And so here's what the moderator did. She said, before we go any further, I want both of you to huddle together. And so Alabama, I want you to present first. You're going to present to all of us what you think this group of Californians probably assumes about you. And so they did. So they huddled together, they made their list, and it was a very sobering moment. As they presented, they said, well, you know, California, you guys probably think that we're all a bunch of Bible thumpers who, I'm trying to remember, like there's a whole list of these things, but who are extremely uneducated, who wave Confederate flags all the time in our pickup trucks, and that we walk around barefoot and pregnant all the time. And I mean, just a list of these stereotypes. And it was a very sobering moment. And the moderator thanked them, and there was no response, all right? The moderator just thanked them and said, all right, California, you all now present to Alabama what you think they probably assume about you. And so, and they had a similar list. They said, you likely think we're very elitist, and that we only value those of high education. You think that we're godless. You think that we actually enjoy high taxes. You think we only eat whole foods. I mean, these were some of their answers, right? And so again, real sobering moment as this was discussed, and it was incredible. It broke down so much of what they had of hostility and assumptions because they started to understand each other and they looked at the people and not the problems. And then after they had looked at the people, they could talk about the problems. And they ended up having this long dialogue that expanded all the way through until this TED Talk was given. And the point of that is, this is what honor does. It breaks through differences. Because when you honor somebody, you actually see the person and you don't see the obstacle right in front of you. And this is what happens. Guys, we see this all the time. You go to Congress, you have an AOC on one end, you had a Steve King on the other, right? And it's such like insults hurling all over the place. And it's like, this is ugly and nobody likes this. They can't like it. Nobody can like this stuff. And this is what honor does. See, that's dishonor. The whole mess is dishonor there. But you know what honor does when there's differences, including emotional differences, strong, passionate differences? When you honor somebody, you break through the problem to get to the person first. And you have a relationship with that person. The problem then becomes something that's much easier to address then. And this is the thing, honoring doesn't mean agreeing. It never has to mean agree. I'm reading through a Chuck Swindoll. He's an old school Baptist guy, but a Chuck Swindoll commentary right now, and he's writing about like acceptance and tolerance and, you know, like what truth. It's incredible. I'm loving it, and I just read that part this week, And that's totally the framework here, is that you can honor someone without ever agreeing with their point of view. But honoring means you listen to it and that you can speak it back to them. This is what we as a church have to be able to do. We must honor people who are different than us. It's a must that we do this. Honor breaks through differences. Honor breaks through challenges. And we as the church, we're called to honor. This is a non-negotiable for us. If God has equipped us to be carriers of truth, that is such a high responsibility. The only way to carry truth is to carry it in the vehicle of honor. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for just the foundation of understanding of what is honor, and that people's lives are to be valued, to be cared about. God, we live in a world where it's not about fairness, and it's not about paying back somebody. We live in a world that is so filled with dishonor that, Lord, you would call the church to be a people of honor. Lord, extending a hand, looking for points of understanding, cutting through obstacles to reach a person first. God, equip us in that, that we would walk with you, that we would walk in honor and love you so boldly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, at this time, we will receive the Lord's Supper. And so if you need to grab the elements, the bread, the wine, and juice, you may do that. And otherwise, let's stand. Let's sing the doxology together. Pray together. God Almighty, we bless you today. We thank you for your presence. God, you're with us. The whole goal of heaven is to be with you. And God, here you've come to us even on earth. We've begun an eternal relationship with you. We're blessed by that. God, it's our sin that gets in our way of so much. It's our sin that, Lord, we've done stuff, we've thought stuff, we've spoken stuff. There's not a commandment that we haven't broken in one way or another. And Lord, the penalty is because you're a God of just, like you're just, your justice reigns. And there's only one result, is that there are punishments that fit the crime. And God, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But as your Bible says, but thanks be to God that Jesus Christ died on the cross to set us free. Thank you, Jesus, that when we confess our sins, you take away the penalty, you take away the punishment. So, Father, we confess today that we've sinned. We recognize that we are, our behavior has been less than ideal. We've fallen short of your glory. But you are honoring of us. You made the first move to come to us, just like you would call us to honor others by making a first move to them. the gospel is that you made a first move to us. So Jesus, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isn't that so awesome that Christ came to us before we had ever agreed to anything, before we ever confessed our sin, before we ever had any hope in a restoration with the Father? Christ died for us. He let go of his life so that, and took the first step to us so that we could have eternity with him. That's love. Your sins are forgiven. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the loaf and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. He said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. So we take and we eat. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And after he'd given thanks, he gave it to the disciples and said, take and drink this cup. It's a new covenant, my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. We take, we drink. Jesus said that he would not drink of the vine. He would not do this again until he did it anew in the Father's kingdom. And that day is coming. May this gift of the body and blood of Christ give you strength and endurance to life everlasting. Amen. Let's remain standing as we sing our final song.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I will worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I will worship your holy name. Rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before.
Joining with us today for church, those online. It's it's awesome just to worship together. So a couple things. We're just not touching anything that anybody else is touching. So if you would take your trash, your bulletins, your communion, whatever's left of that, you can toss them. Offering as well to receive our tithes. You can do that online, or if you brought an envelope, you can set it in the back, in the basket. A couple things. There's youth group tonight, 5 o'clock, right here, St. Paul. And there's also Wednesday night prayer this week. We're going to pray for the Black community, just that God would bless that community. We're going to do that 7 o'clock here on Wednesday. And the mission of the month is Hope Line. And so love this mission, what they're up to, that God would put so much favor on them that we want to highlight. So may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in you what's pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go Chiefs.
And Packers.
And Packers, yeah, whatever. All right, have a great Sunday.